Well, Bob, you left yourself open for all sorts of comments and insults, but you know that's not me. I don't do that, do I? I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be back in the house of the Lord. It, among other things, makes me feel for those who are isolated members, who don't get to meet with us in the same room. But thankful that we can meet online. That was kind of our lifeline for the last 3.5 months. And it was truly a blessing. But I am so, so grateful that I can be back with you. I don't have much of an immune system, so I'm not hugging and shaking hands and all that, but understand I don't love you any less. Because we're all family. I love each one of you. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand before you and declare this. I feel like it's been a long time, but it was in ways a profitable time, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But tonight, I'm talking about giving of thanks, whether it's specific or in more of a general sense, it's a requirement that we offer gratitude to the one who created us, the one who gave us life, the one who gave us a soul and a beautiful planet to live on. He gave us the gift of his word. He gave us the gift of his Son and the gift of the Holy Ghost. These are things that nobody else can ever give. And these are the greatest gifts, that promise of life eternal with him. So let's get at it here. And this is going to be kind of question and answer time. What is the meaning of giving of thanks? This is the easiest one. We give thanks to God to acknowledge the blessings he gives us, whether they're spiritual blessings or temporal. In all things, we should be giving thanks to God. This is from Alma 21, 132 to 133. And Moroni was a strong and mighty man. He was a man of perfect understanding, yea, a man whose heart did swell with thanksgiving to his God for the many privileges and blessings which he bestowed upon his people. Now, Moroni was, it says he was a strong and mighty man. In some respects, pretty self-sufficient, but always understanding that he was always dependent upon God. He always had to rely on our Creator for everything. So why is it important to give thanks to God? Because he expects it of us. It's our obligation. Have you ever had somebody give you a gift and you just tossed it aside and didn't even say thanks? Didn't even open the box? No, that's not in us. That's not who we are. But that's because we understand things like this. We understand that all gifts come from God. And so it's our obligation to thank him for them. This is Posiah 1, 52 and 53. Now what have I done? Here it is. I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all of the thanks and praise which your whole souls hath power to possess to that God who hath created you and hath kept and preserved you and hath caused that ye should rejoice and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. Unprofitable servants. Because you're not doing something that he's hired you to do. You're doing something he expects you to do. You know, and sometimes we're inclined to do the bare minimum. You know, there's a phrase in our funny language, we say, it was the least I could do. And when someone thanks you for doing something, it was the least I could do. that shouldn't be the answer. That should be, well, I'll fill in the gaps later, but we're there right now. But unprofitable to God, he doesn't need anything. But he deserves our thanks. He expects our thanks. Not that it would make him better, but because it makes us better. It gives us a sense of gratitude, a sense of we are not self-sufficient. The world does not revolve around me or you. We didn't create it. We just are blessed to get to live here. Okay, this is just, I just jumped right into the middle of this story of the 10 lepers that came to Christ and asked him if they could be healed. And, you know, he told them what to do, and all 10 of them left. But one of them came back. 10% came back. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It's Luke 17, 11 through 19. Jesus could have survived without any of them coming back. He'd have been super pleased if all 10 of them came back. But the fact that one came back allowed him to use that one person as an example. And that's our job. That's our job, to be the example, the 1 in 10 who does the right thing, that praises our God for everything. So how do we share our thankfulness? You all know this. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. Moroni 6, 6. And when we do that, we frequently stand and praise the Lord for a blessing that we've received. Because that's God's expectation of us. But we don't have to do that here. We, you know, it requires only a modicum of boldness to stand up in a congregation and offer a testimony. But to do it to the general public or a perfect stranger is can be intimidating, because you have no idea what kind of response you're going to get. I've had that opportunity a lot lately, even before the transplant. And it is astonishing. It's been astonishing to me how many people say, "My, that is a wonderful blessing." You know, I think we're a lot more numerous than we think. There are a lot of tender-hearted people out there who love the Lord, and they appreciate hearing your testimony. They really do. I had one lady, you know, I told a little bit about what was going on. I said, "But I don't want to take up too much of your time." And she said, no, keep going. I want to hear it all." That's great. I love that. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, kind of a continuation of Moroni 6, 6. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always for all things. That doesn't leave out anything. It's easy to understand the concept of thanking Him for a blessing. It's harder to thank Him for providing a challenge or a disappointment or a sickness or a loss. But we know that He has a purpose for all things. And frequently we don't understand what it is. Sometimes these things are eventually revealed to us. Sometimes we're just going to have to wait until He tells us in person. And then it'll be all clear. "Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I had no idea." Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have volunteered a couple of sisters to offer a testimony. Bubba, can you take them this? Sue Brickhouse and your wife. And
well, it's always hard for me to get up in front of people, but I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for each one of you here. I was born and raised in the church, as most of you know, and baptized when I was 10, just because I wanted to follow Jesus. I didn't really understand it at that time, but that's what I wanted to do. And when I look back at my life now, I think of how blessed I have been. Blessed with wonderful parents, a wonderful family, a wonderful husband. And then to top it off, I was able to travel with Buzz to Africa and meet all the wonderful brothers and sisters over there and all the love. It's just hard to imagine until you've been there how much love they have for their brothers and sisters. So I praise the Lord. I never wanted to be a widow, I'll tell you that. But I've had a lot of support. I've felt a lot of love. And I'm just so very thankful for my church family, my physical family, for all the many blessings that I've been given in my life. And I just praise His name.
Thank you.
I have a little problem collecting my thoughts, so forgive me. I am thankful to the Lord for sparing my life. And in it, it was in 2002, which some people think that's a long time ago, but it wasn't to me. And my heart, I was having difficulty with my heart. And I would walk every day, and I walked up the hill, and I would have pressure. And I thought nothing of it, but a neighbor of mine and my sisters insisted that I would go to the doctor. And I went to the doctor, and he prescribed a stress test. And back then they did it on a treadmill only. And I was able to do it because I was young and I was able. And so I did it, but the technician said, that is a heart attack waiting to happen. And so I was a little nervous about it. I was kind of nervous and I was kind of worried. And so I prayed about it. And the Lord spoke to me in through administration, and he blessed me tremendously. The doctor that I had when I went for the heart cath said that I was, first of all, that I had the person before me canceled. And so I had the leader and the head of the heart cath problem. And he immediately, when they did the heart, the cart, and they used to do it through your groin area, and so they did it, and I immediately had a problem. I had a heart attack on the table, and that doctor was able to go through the groin on the other side, up through the heart, and to place a couple stents. And he saved my life, but it was God, through administration, that blessed me. And it was his blessing that saved me. And it was he that orchestrated everything. And he, even though I was sick, I had a little problem afterwards. I was so grateful for my children and my husband, and I couldn't believe that he had spared my life. And it was the Lord that did it. He blessed me, and he helped me. And I praise his name and thank him for saving me back then. I now am 23 years later, and I'm having a little problem, and I need your prayers, I need your help, and I need the Lord. I praise his name and thank him for blessing me.
Thank you both. I appreciate those testimonies. And a question I was going to ask, and I don't think it's even necessary, that how was your life changed because of these things that you were grateful for? But I think it's very obvious. You perhaps either redoubled your efforts to serve, or continued with increased desire and vigor? Because I see it. I see it in what you do. And I'm just so thankful. God bless you both. So this verse in Leviticus, I kept seeing it. And, it kept popping up in my searches. And, I just like the ring of that. It just has a really great sound to it. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so the other day, I thought, I bet that means more than I think it does. And sure enough, it really does. And this, I think under here, this is from a commentary regarding this exact thing. In Leviticus 22:29, the sacrifice of thanksgiving refers to a specific type of peace offering, also called a fellowship offering, in ancient Israelite worship, as outlined in the Torah. This offering, described in Leviticus 7:11 through 15 and Leviticus 22:29 and 30, was a voluntary act of gratitude to God for his blessings, provision, or deliverance. It involved presenting an animal sacrifice, typically a bull, a sheep, or a goat, without blemish, to be slaughtered at the sanctuary. The offerer would eat the meat in a communal meal with family, friends, or priests, symbolizing the fellowship with God and others. And I thought, my suspicions were correct. It was one of the myriads of peace or offerings. This is a subset of a peace offering, and they have offerings for all sorts of things. Interesting sideline, down in Mexico, they will occasionally have what's called a servicio de acción de gracias, which literally means a service of thanksgiving. And any member of the congregation can call for this service, and it's planned in advance, and it's given a date and everything's ready to go. And the service revolves around this person giving their specific testimony for a specific event or blessing that they had in their lives. And after the service, there would be a sermon in the service, frequently revolving around giving of thanks or looking forward to, now that you've received this blessing, what are you going to do with it? Where is your life going to go? And then afterwards, the person who offered the service would typically provide a meal or treats for everybody that showed up. And I thought, wow, this is interesting, because there's this direct correlation between our people down there and the old law. So I want to think about sacrifice in conjunction with thanksgiving. And I'm going to start with Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, that's the old law, the law of Moses. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus' sacrifice freed us, first of all, from the sin of Adam, and second of all, gave us this avenue of repentance and forgiveness, that we wouldn't be eternally burdened with all of our sins if we repented. I'm going to back up. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in his flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The reason I brought this up is that frequently you will see a fulfillment of things discussed in the Old Testament in the New Testament, and how things were changed, like the Passover Seder was dramatically changed, both in intent and in the words that are used, and the way it was held. And that that Passover Seder was transformed into our communion service. And let me make it clear: when we have our communion service, we're not celebrating the Passover, because that's old law, that's gone. Our communion service is a fulfillment of the old law procedure. So that's what I want to talk about. This is because I see this offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I think, what does that mean today, other than it has a nice ring to it? We'll talk about that in a minute. In 3 Nephi 4:49, this is the words of Christ when he first came to this continent, right after this massive storm, earthquake, fire that destroyed a huge part of the population of the offspring of Lehi. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. Because they kept the old law. They kept the law of Moses with animal sacrifices and the whole thing. And I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So we need, or I want, to look at how this sacrifice of thanksgiving became a sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. One more, Romans 12:1-2, one of my favorite verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not an unreasonable thing to ask. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world tell you what to do. But be ye transformed, be changed, be the who you are to be changed. You become a different person. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're not transformed of your outward appearance by changing your haircut or wearing different clothes or losing weight or growing a beard or any of that. That's all window dressing. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change what's between your ears. Take on a different attitude towards things. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Seek out what God's will is for you. And accept that and reject your personal will, who you used to be. If, of course, they're incompatible with God's will. He gives us gifts and blessings and abilities. And that doesn't mean we should just cast all those off, unless the ability that you have does not further Christ's mission. But prove what's good and acceptable and perfect before God. That's what we need to change into. And that requires searching your soul. It requires searching through prayer what it is the Lord does want you to do and how you can use the gifts and blessings that he's given you in a different way. The other day, the name Meyer Lansky came to mind. Does anybody know who Meyer Lansky was? Alvin probably knows. Meyer Lansky was a mobster, but he was also a brilliant economist. And he's the guy in the mob in Chicago that figured out how to launder money so that, you know, there wouldn't be any evidence of wrongdoing. I mean, they were into all kinds of horrible things that made a lot of money. And so he had this wonderful gift. I mean, there are economists today that aren't as smart as he was. But it ultimately did not keep him out of jail. He was convicted and sent to prison because he misused the gifts that God had given him. He was not transformed, but he was conformed to the world, making him money by illicit means. So we have this framework of showing our gratitude by our personal sacrifice, not of an animal, but of yourself. And I just thought that was really interesting how that all worked out, because as soon as I saw what this sacrifice of thanksgiving was, now, I immediately thought of this Romans 12, that there is a sacrifice of thanksgiving that is consistent with Christ's law, and that is a living sacrifice, not a sacrifice of dead animals. Whereas the old law ends in the death of an animal as an outward expression of gratitude, Christ's law always looks forward, never back. He looks forward, looks to the future with hope and expectation. That's Christ's law that those of us who have been baptized are living under. The hope and expectation of something better yet to come. Kind of like dessert. My mother, oh, my father used to say, is there SEC? You know, and I thought that was a word, SEC. You know, something else coming. But I don't know why I remembered that, but that was my father. Our hope, our sacrifice of thanksgiving is one of transformation. That's our gift to God. as we're transformed into a new life of increased love and devotion for God and our fellow man through service to God, through service to our fellow man, to our brothers and sisters, to our families, neighbors, acquaintances. We serve them. And that completes that circle of thanksgiving, from blessing to thanksgiving to transformation. That's why I kind of chose you two ladies, because I knew you'd both been through a lot, and that it was evident how you went through trials with grace and hope and love, understanding that whatever happens, it's because that's God's will. That's not easy to do, but that's our goal. That's what we're called to, is to look at these things with a positive attitude, that there's always something better. Well, that's interesting. There we go. Call to action. It wouldn't be complete if I didn't offer you and myself some options. You know, what am I talking about? Psalms 100, 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Be a joyful person. Nobody likes a grump. Be a joyful person, because that will get noticed right off the bat without having to say anything. That immediately opens doors for you, because some people want to know, what? How can you be joyful through all of this? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. This verse has a special place in my heart because of the way my calling to be an elder unfolded. This verse meshed perfectly with that calling. And we need to look at service to God with this attitude, whether it's service to God, whether it's service to our brothers and sisters, or anybody else, that I'm personally thankful for the opportunity to serve. And it brings me joy, but it brings a special gift to the receiver of that. You know, people are looking for hope, and they're not finding it. They want to see somebody who exudes joyfulness and happiness, and not superficial, but the real deal that comes from God, that comes from a hope and a joy in sacrifice. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Now, I think about God making everything, and what would happen if I sat down on a potter's wheel with a lump of clay. It would look worse when I got finished with it than it did when it was just a lump of clay. You know, that's that kind of creativity is not in me. And I think God made us out of a lump of clay. God made the universe out of nothing. I can't begin to approach that kind of talent and ability. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're living in Christ's kingdom if we're baptized into his church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Approach God always with thanksgiving. I think of all of the Psalms. So many of them, a huge percentage of them, are praising God in thankfulness, in gratitude. I don't know, David seemed to always be getting in trouble because there are all these psalms about, you have saved me from my enemies. You know, and I don't know what all he was doing, but he must have had a lot of enemies. But he always praised God for his protection. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And those two things make up so much of the Psalms. Be thankful unto him. Give thanks always. And bless his name. I didn't understand that. I don't still understand it fully. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, he said, hallowed be thy name. Maybe we can respect the use of his name. We don't use the Lord's name in vain. But I see that more as symbolic of who God is, that we bless his name. We bless who he is, what he is, his infinite power and mercy and love and knowledge and ability. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. So merciful, always. We're constantly almost sinning, and he's constantly being merciful. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth forever. Now, you think of the miracle of God's word in the Bible and the Book of Mormon having been preserved for thousands of years. That's a blessing. Now, the Mayan people have very little recognition of their heritage, who the people were that came before them, like in antiquity. Because when they were overrun by the conquistadors, there was a Catholic priest, his name was Diego de Landa. He took it upon himself to personally destroy all of their records, all of their history. Thankfully, he repented of that, a little too late, but he repented of that, and he spent the rest of his life going around interviewing the Mayan people and trying to reconstruct as much of that as he could. But, you know, that information didn't endure to all generations because it was intentionally destroyed. But how amazing it is that we have what I believe is the perfect word of God in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. So we have this call to offer that sacrifice of thanksgiving, to offer who we are and the blessings and gifts and abilities that we possess that are gifts from God. I want to offer a bit of a testimony about my current situation. And the story actually goes back about 30 years, not quite 20 years. Sitting at my desk, and the Lord specifically told me, pick up the phone and call this doctor, Dr. Biber, who I knew as a client, but I didn't know him professionally. He told me twice, pick up the phone, call Dr. Biber, make an appointment. So I did. Well, as it turns out, I had prostate cancer. And it was caught at exactly the right time. And I'm here today to tell about it, because otherwise I would not have made it. Essentially, the same thing happened 2.5 years ago. It was impressed upon me to just get a wellness visit, but I didn't even have a primary care physician. So I called and called and called, and everybody said, well, call back in 6 or 8 months or a year, and we may have room for you. And I just felt this was more urgent than that. I complained to one of my clients who is in some kind of medical field. I didn't know at the time what. And he said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of this. And within 2 days, I had an appointment with who turned out to be the best possible choice for a primary care physician. I got the appointment. He poked and prodded and listened and looked and said, well, Mr. Lawrence, for a person of your age, you're just in phenomenally good health. We'll draw some blood, send you on your way, have a good life. So I thought, oh, well, this is encouraging. He called me the next day and said he was going to put me in the hospital. I thought, oh, are we talking about the same person here? He says, well, you are on the verge of stage 4 kidney disease. And my response at the time was, well, that's interesting. You know, I didn't completely understand the impact of that, but it didn't take long to come to an understanding of it. So, went through a bunch more tests, and primarily just kind of hide and watch and see how quickly it develops. And it developed pretty quickly. And my nephrologist kept saying, you know, we really need to get you on on dialysis, because, you know, we don't know when your kidneys are just going to up and quit, and you need to be ready for that. So we kept putting it off anyway. I just really didn't want to do that. And so I got the thought, well, why don't I look into transplant? What have I got to lose? All they can do is say no. And indeed, the first hospital that I talked to said no. But I got lined up with research, and they accepted me, which was really kind of astonishing because I'm really too old for this. But they accepted me anyway. I hadn't said anything to anybody about, you know, that I was accepted for a transplant. And our dear sister, who you all know, I think you know this story, she came up to me one day in potluck, and she said, if you're ever considering a transplant, I would like to be your donor. It's difficult for me still to tell this story without getting choked up. It's just, it's inconceivable that someone would have that kind of love and concern for a brother to, without hesitation, make that offer. I was stunned. I was speechless. I just gave her a big hug. But, you know, the Lord was in it the whole time. Everything happened on His schedule, and it was perfect. She was actually a perfect match. And in very short order, she went to research transplant and got tested and got everything lined up. And the whole operation from, you know, from beginning to end was perfect. I had very little discomfort after the surgery. The kidney was working like gangbusters right from the start. As a matter of fact, he wasn't finished with the surgery, and it was already functioning. He was pretty shocked. He said, "Well, I'll give you 25 years on this kidney." I said, "Well, that's great. I'll be 105." I had asked him. We went and interviewed him and asked him a bunch of questions before the surgery. And my last question was, knowing my age, why did you accept me? And he said, well, why shouldn't we? I mean, after being turned down once, I was shocked right there that they even considered me. But he said, why shouldn't we accept you? It's because it was the Lord's will. That's the plan that He had for me. That's the first half of the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. The second half is the rest of my life. Yeah, God has given me the gift of an extension on my life and quality of life. I mean, life's going to be different. I'm never going to have a really great immune system, which is why I mask up, which is why I don't hug and shake hands and that kind of stuff. But in terms of the options, dialysis or nothing, transplant is by far and away the best option. But I have a responsibility. Just saying thank you, Lord, is a great start. But that's the beginning. The rest is, what kind of transformation is this going to affect in my life? I mean, I can sit back fat, dumb, and happy in my recliner and say, well, now I've got more time to sit here and cruise the internet. That's not glorifying God. And when I found out that, you know, I was going to be pretty much sequestered for 3 months after the surgery, at least, I thought, well, I better figure out what I'm going to do with this time, because it's time that God has given me. This is the beginning of the time that God has given me. Fortunately, my recuperation was almost non-existent. I was a little uncomfortable for a day or two. It took a long time for all of the anesthetic to wear off, so I was a little goofy for a while. But being on the board of publications, which turned out to be a gift, because we've always got projects to do. And, you know, I get a lot of the responsibility of laying up documents, getting them published. And I really enjoy doing that, and I'm glad that I'm there, that I can offer that. So I was real busy for 3 months, knocking out some of these projects that had been sitting on my desk. And that was really satisfying. Because I felt like I was doing something for the Lord, that in some small way was an expression of gratitude for everything He'd done for me. And so as long as I'm able and capable, this is one of the things I need to be doing. I redoubled my efforts on these things because I have a greater appreciation for time. I have a greater gratitude for every day that the Lord gives me. And this is a challenge I would like to offer to you as a call to action. Serve the Lord with gladness. Find things that you can do to serve Him, to further the gospel of Christ. And it's going to be different for everybody, but anything's better than staring at the computer or your phone or the television. There's always time. That's not the problem. It's the direction and the drive, encouragement to do it. Uh, time, again, I want to say how thankful I am for all your prayers and your concerns for us. It shows me what it's like to be part of a family that loves me, a family that I love. I've been sustained by your prayers for 2.5 years. David probably remembers the first ministry meeting when I announced what my situation was. And I had no real direction as to where it was all going to lead. I said at that time, but wherever it leads, that's God's will. And I'm willing to accept that. And I couldn't have personally orchestrated it any better. I just marvel at how everything went smoothly. I'm sure there was a reason that I didn't get accepted at the first hospital, because that's not where the Lord wanted me to go. Serve the Lord with gladness. Find something you can do and do it with gusto and joy and thanksgiving to the Lord. I appreciate your time, your smiles, your love. God bless you each.